Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. How are you guys? Welcome to the podcast. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. It's a beautiful day outside today as I am recording on the East Coast, on the Eastern Seaboard, as it were. I think weather people call it that. It's really nice out, and the weather really affects my mood. I have to be honest, but it's not always exactly what you would think, because sometimes a rainy day is exactly what I want for my mood, and it makes me really happy. But a beautiful, sunny, breezy 70-degree day, dude, it just makes my heart sing. So I'm a little bit excited to get out there, but I'm also really excited to be in here with you guys today. So much great stuff to share with you. So I have, as you guys know, on Instagram, a flourishing community. Please come follow me at Nicole Sachs LCSW for tons of stuff. And I do a series on Instagram called I Am Evidence, using my own personal experience in order to help you guys navigate your own journey. Because you know what, guys? Life is just so lifey. And you need all the help you can get. I need all the help I can get. Trust me. And one of the things I'm really good at is asking for help. And so I hope that my efforts make you better at asking for help. But anyway, so I do this IGTV series called I Am Evidence. And my topic this week was on fawning, on the trauma response that has been labeled fawn by complex PTSD researchers. And it kind of is the fourth F to fight, flight, or freeze. And so we're going to talk about that today because that video got a tremendous response, bigger than, at least quicker and bigger than any other of my videos has. And so I definitely want to talk about that. And I definitely want to tell you that stay tuned. I will be announcing a fawn mini retreat because people are asking for it. I basically said, do you guys want this? And like tons and tons and tons of you said yes. And so I will work that out. I will figure it out. Stay tuned to Instagram. Stay tuned to this podcast. Stay tuned to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and I will announce it. So we're going to talk all about that today. I think it is probably one of the most important things to understand in terms of trauma responses when it comes to why we need to repress so many of our emotions, which of course leads to tons of physical illness, diagnoses, conditions, symptoms, syndromes, etc. So that's that. Another thing that I want to talk to you about, and I know you hear me talk about this somewhat often, but I've been really, really excited about the new things going on at Curable. So if you guys don't know about Curable, it's an app, and it is the only app that so far I have even ever come across that deals with the mind-body system when it comes to chronic pain and conditions. It's actually really something that I value in my life because there's only so much I can do. I am one person. I'm trying my best. There is a chronic pain mind-body community that's out there, and Curable is leading the way with this app. It has these science-based techniques that really, it goes beyond stuff that I talk about all the time because they really go deep. They have a lot of MDs that are providing them with this research. And so when you use Curable, it's a guided app, it has actionable strategies, it helps retrain your brain's response to pain. That is what we're doing here, guys. We're retraining our brain's response to pain. And then you'll stop fearing physical movement, you'll stop fearing your symptoms, you'll stop fearing never getting better. So of course, I am always doing my best to bring you the most helpful and innovative techniques and concepts, but Curable is also really, really helpful in that. So if you would like to get 50% off the Curable app for a whole year, you just go to www.curable.com getcurable.com/Nicole. And so that's getcurable, and curable spelled C-U-R-A-B-L-E /Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. So definitely take advantage of that because it is, it's just next level. And I love the people there. And if you ever go to Curable's Facebook page, they have a Facebook online community when you sign up and other things. I'm all over it. You know, we really work together a lot and I've been interviewed on their podcast. And so it's just awesome. So I wanted to definitely let you guys know about that. Also, oh yes, 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 I have exciting news. So for those of you guys considering coming in person to learn with me this summer at the Omega Institute, Ruthie Lindsay has just signed on to come back and join us. If you haven't heard about Ruthie's work, look her up, Ruthie Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. She had the most incredible chronic pain journey. She just published a beautiful book this year. I believe it's called Here I Am. And she did my work and it really catapulted her journey into wellness. Her story is striking and stunning. And she'll be joining us along with all of my other Omega guest instructors 5 days in person. Guys, in person. And we'll all be vaccinated and lots of hugs and I cannot freaking wait. So if you want to join us and be in the space of the most incredible energy, I am not saying this because I want you to come. I am saying this because it is the way things are. It will change your life. It will change your life. Just being in the place. All right, I'm going to stop. But okay. If you want to come with us, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the retreats tab or click on the resources tab. There are links to come to Omega. There's also an Omega evening on May 11th from 6 to 9 where Eastern time where we're doing an intro. If people are interested in learning a little bit about what we're going to do at Omega, that's also linked on my resources page of my website. And I also have a virtual retreat coming up May 21st through the 23rd. So lots of ways to work with me in person. I hope to see you there. Okay. 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 I know nobody likes the long intro, but I have to tell you guys things. This is my only way to tell you guys things. Okay. Here we are. Let's talk about fawning. Okay. So I have been talking about people pleasing for years. For years, I have been helping you guys understand that people pleasing is stealing your voice. It's stealing your self-worth. It's stealing your sense of self. And since the early days of Sarno putting out this work in, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, he talked about people pleasing and perfectionism, the two P's, as the two most damaging things that we do that basically discard ourselves. And then we have to repress so many emotions in order to just get through the day. And of course, if you follow my work, you know that when those repressed emotions reach critical mass, almost like a science beaker that's living inside your body, when it goes to spill over, the nervous system perceives your repressed emotions as a greater predator than your physical pain. It is something that is perceived as a threat to your life, that many feelings that you've never been taught to feel coming up at the same time, informing you that of how scared or sad or grieving or haven't let yourself grieve or shameful or rageful or terrified or traumatized, all these things that we don't give time to. There's no time, right? There's no time in life to sit with our freaking trauma because we are too busy raising kids and working jobs and dealing with our families and our money and our pets and our responsibilities of being big adults. And so it just gets swept aside. We all know it. Everyone listening, I don't care how evolved you are. I'm right here with you. It gets swept aside. And so all of those feelings build up. And they create in the brain and the nervous system a long-term sustained fight or flight reaction. So this is not saying, I'm always going to say this, this is not saying the pain is in your head. This is not saying the pain or the symptoms are psychological, nor is it saying that they are psychosomatic. They are not being created somewhere that is like an illusion or a delusion. They are physical pain, symptoms, syndromes, conditions, diagnoses, sometimes linked to what Sarno called normal abnormalities like bulging discs or spondylolisthesis, which I have, or arthritis, or different things that might look like they're the problem, but they are not the problem. They are not the problem alone. They may be an entry point to understanding the problem, but the mind-body system, when it is in this sustained, heightened fight or flight from long-term chronic stress, which is the reason that all these emotions are created, sends the pain signals to the muscle groups, the nerves, the different systems like the digestive system, and many others. And that is why we are a society of sick people and exhausted, fatigued, autoimmune compromised people. So that's just what's going on. And I've been doing it for 20 years and I know this to be the capital T truth. So one of the things that I used to understand when I was teaching the Sarno work and working alongside him was that we had to look at our personalities. Okay, so it wasn't just the stuff that happened to us and it wasn't just our daily stresses, even though those two things are very important. It was our personalities and the personality issues that we have, or just characteristics, they don't even have to be considered issues, are with us all the time. You know, I like to say that the personality list that we create during this work is the most important list because everything that we do is filtered through the lens of our personality. So when you show up as you at work, at home, in love relationships, in parenting, with friendships, that's how we show up. We show up as us. So if I'm a people pleaser, I'm showing up as a people pleaser in all those situations. And I'll tell you something, it takes a lot of energy to be, first of all, discarding myself all the time, and second of all, pleasing people all the time and having to constantly think about what everybody else needs. I mean, can you even imagine the energy it takes to be scanning the landscape like a vigilant soldier, you know, taking a post, constantly looking for like, what does everybody need? No, let's even back up before that. How is everybody feeling? Are they stressed? Are they reacting? Are they angry? Might they get angry? I mean, this is, by the way, I'm speaking from very personal experience. And then once you're assessing the feelings of everyone in the group, figuring out what makes you uncomfortable. Of course, in the end, it's all about us, right? I mean, we think it's about other people, but in the end, it's about us because we're the ones feeling uncomfortable. So, okay, so how is everybody feeling that's making us uncomfortable? And now, how can we switch into that people-pleasing mode and save the day so we don't have to suffer? Now, I didn't know until the last couple years that there was a name for this in the complex PTSD research. And once I understood that there was a name for this, which is fawning, I understood the depth of the trauma response, that it wasn't just, oh, I'm a people pleaser. You know, I'm just that kind of person. I'm just an easygoing girl. And, you know, I like everyone to be happy because that's what I told myself for a really long time. And there's no shame in telling yourself anything. You know better, you do better. So that's all I had. That was the best I had for many years. And I saw it as a really positive thing. And then when I went through all the TMS work and I started to understand how I was discarding myself and how I was needing to repress so much anger, you know, people pleasing requires you to think of yourself last often, and that makes you really angry. And the thing is, so often I talk to people and they say, oh, yeah, but I'm not an angry person. I just get migraines. And I said, I know, honey. I know, love, I get you so much, but you are an angry person. You just don't feel that anger. You feel it through your migraines. Like, that's the way it goes, my people. So I first thought it was a positive thing, and I patted myself on the back for being such a good person that was always so concerned with others. And then as I went through the TMS work, I'm like, you know what? Actually, it's a fear response. It's a fear response because I'm being triggered to not want other people to be uncomfortable because that makes me feel so unsafe. So let's go back. And you know, listen, I want to be honest with you. I don't want to play the violin for my childhood over and over and over again. And the reason I don't is because I had a lot of love in my childhood. There's a reason why I am able to do this work and bring it the way I do. It's because I had a lot of love from my predator parent, which was my father, but I also had a lot of judgment and a lot of rage and a lot of unpredictable anger and a lot of complete inability to self-regulate on his part. So his explosions of anger could happen anywhere in public, in front of my friends, anywhere there could be a time that, you know, anywhere, anytime. And it was totally unpredictable. And I always thought it was about me, and it was really never about me. So anywhere I was, it was possible that that would happen. And it left me feeling so unsafe. I essentially became a person, I never felt safe. And you know, like I said, I don't want to play horrible violin concerto for my childhood, but I'm going to say on a very basic level of safety, I did not feel safe. I didn't feel that I was going to be physically injured most of the time, and I didn't feel like I was going to be completely abandoned or neglected, but I didn't feel comfortable whenever he was around. And I actually have very distinct memories of being in my kitchen, let's say, and I had math homework and I couldn't understand it. My mom was in the kitchen and I went downstairs. This is actually a very specific memory. And I went downstairs and I opened my math book on the counter. I was in sixth grade and I started asking her a question. And as I was asking her a question, the garage door, which was right next to the kitchen, started to go up, indicating that my father was coming home. And I literally, without knowing it, slammed the book shut and started running out of the room fast, like fleeing the situation. And my mom goes, "What are you doing?" And I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed because I hadn't even thought of doing it. I just did it. And you know, of course I shouldn't have been embarrassed, nor should I have been screamed at or judged or criticized constantly, but it's the way it went. It's just the way it went. And so I became a certain kind of person. And I also think it's fair to say that it's not all bad to be a people pleaser, but when it moves into fawning, when it becomes fawning, meaning, I don't think I've explained fawning enough yet. Fawning is a trauma response that comes from feeling unsafe. It comes from having a parent or caregiver that was unpredictable, couldn't emotionally regulate, had outbursts, physical, emotional abuse, mental abuse, giving you the cold shoulder, giving you the silent treatment. There's so many ways that this manifests, but it normally happened in your home environment because it leads to a feeling of unsafety. It leads to a feeling where in the place you should be able to relax the most, you just can't relax. And if it happens for a long enough time, most of us who are being raised by people spend several years at the very least with those people and feel, and as you know, the fact that children are inherently dependent creatures, we don't feel a real ability to escape. You know, we don't have a lot of choices. And so your nervous system becomes wired for needing to do what you need to do in order to make the situation safe. This is brain science, guys. All of the stuff I talk about is brain science. So it's not like we can have conscious choice about this. That's why fawning has been sort of looped into this fight, flight, freeze, and now fawn category, because although fawning isn't a reflexive response like pulling your hand from a hot stove, which would be a flea response, It's so automatic. At least I understand it in my own body because I have done it for years. I mean, I don't do it anymore, but I still feel it. We're going to talk about that, the pause between stimulus and response. So I don't do it anymore, but I feel it because you're never responsible for your first reaction to something because it's a reflex. So I you know, for years I was like, wow, this is so automatic. It's so crazy the way it just happens. Because when we are in a situation, so that was, so what I described before was the the childhood situation. So now let's talk about how it manifests throughout your lifetime. So now you're grown, you're out of the house, you're living on your own. And now let's say you're a young person and you have roommates. Okay. Now the roommates are not your caregivers. They are not paying for you. They're not responsible for your food or your clothing. And they're really not even wholly responsible for your shelter because you guys are all sharing the expenses of the house. They're not the boss of you. And so one might think logically that if your roommates are fighting with each other, or if your roommate is in a bad mood because she has a big project to do and it's all about her, it's not about you, there's a very good chance that it will make you feel panicked, almost like you can't breathe, like I can't stand the feeling of being in this situation. Now, oftentimes people don't have that kind of insight. All they get is the feeling, and the feeling is reflexive, and what it leads to is fawning, which is immediately jumping into the mode of people-pleasing, smoothing over, lightening the mood, whether it's joke telling or fixing and saving or saying, I'll clean the kitchen, you know, you just do your work, even though you also have work to do. Anything that takes you outside of your own needs, beyond your comfort zone, because some people are like in a situation, and this is just being of service, where if you finish the work you need to do, and you know, maybe you're happy to put on a podcast and wash the dishes, that's just being of service. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about literally feeling that sense of panic wherever it manifests. For me, it manifests right in my solar plexus, like right beneath my rib cage. And it is like a little fright. It's like a little shock of fear. Sometimes it goes up into my chest and into my throat. Sometimes I feel like it's hard for me to swallow, like something's blocking my ability to swallow. These are all anxiety responses. And that is a reflex that happens to me still whenever I think that people are uncomfortable, angry, that they might react, that they might act out, or even if they're not going to react, that they're just going to like brood around and be miserable, my first reaction is to get that physical sensation because it's a fawn response, because it is reminding me of what it was like to be in the house with my father. And also, my father was really around a lot. He was unemployed for, I'd say, at least half of my childhood. So he was around. And usually at night, at least I only knew it was at night. It could have been more. He was drinking. So, and that, of course, leads to lack of judgment in terms of how you might behave or what you might say. So all this to say that when we fawn, it is not something we're choosing, and it's not something that we are doing just to be nice. Like, I really invite you to broaden your understanding of your people-pleasing behaviors. It's so easy to delude ourselves into thinking, but I'm just a nice person. And you are, honey, you are a nice person. I know you. If you're listening to this podcast and you care about healing yourself, I promise you, I see you. You are a nice person. You are a good person. You are in there. But foregoing your needs in a panicked way, in a reflexive, responsive, reactive way, reactive, not responsive. We're going to get to responsive. Reactive way is not just being a good person. It's being a terrified person who has very legitimate reasons, who has had trauma. And let me just remind you guys here that trauma is not just capital T trauma. It is, of course, capital T trauma if you've been, you know, molested or abused or violated or beaten or left out without food and shelter. My God, yes, of course, that is trauma. But trauma is also little T trauma, which is anything that happens in a child's life that makes them feel unsafe. And some people come to me and say, but I had a happy childhood. Like, my parents are still married. They loved me. They tried to do all they could for me. And I'm still like this. And I say to them, right, because depending on your sensibility, depending on how sensitive you were in terms of your soul coming into this life, trauma is lots of things. I mean, the very first thing that brings you into the world, birth, is a trauma. You go from being completely held and warm and all your needs being met to being squeezed down a birth canal or ripped with somebody's hands out of a body. I'm sounding, making this sound very terrible, but I had three babies and I loved the birth process. That was a personal thing. I did love it. But all I'm saying is, regardless of how I loved it, I don't know how it affected my kids. I mean, there's no way to remember how it affected you, but I'm just telling you, birth is trauma. And then there are other things that are trauma that are so much less obvious than people might think. Like, for example, if you're an energetic mismatch to your parent, you know, some people are born into this world and they're like extroverted and they want to get out there and they get their energy from being in the mix and in the middle of it. And they're born to an incredibly shy, introverted, quiet parent that needs a lot of time alone and boundaries. Now, that could be an incredibly loving parent who never does anything overtly to traumatize you, but just the fact that you're an energetic mismatch to that parent could lead to a lot of trauma because the child, without anybody doing anything wrong, feels very alone, feels alone in the world, feels misunderstood, and this is nobody's fault. So trauma can go anywhere from that end of the spectrum to capital T trauma, but regardless of what kind of trauma you've experienced or many different kinds, fawning can come from anything that made you feel unsafe. You know, maybe that extroverted child felt the need as she grew to really diminish herself, to lower her light, to make sure that she was the way she needed to be for her parent to love her in her estimation. And maybe even though nobody expected that of her, she expected that of herself. And maybe when she gets older and she's in a situation where, let's say in a work environment where she gets a boss that's maybe a quiet person, maybe has his or her own issues, she starts to fawn. She starts to make sure she dims her light. She starts to say, what else can I do around here? And she starts to shame herself if in her perception she's not doing enough. This is fawning. So many of us do it. In the most simplest way, you can understand fawning as people pleasing to the nth degree, fueled by fear, because we are not wanting to be triggered into our old trauma. And it is just pervasive. And the reason it's so important to talk about here in this forum is because when we are fawning, we are almost not even in the room. We are so far back on the list of priorities that any feeling we have that we need our needs met is overtaken, is usurped by this reflexive trauma response. And so, and it's a subconscious process, guys. I mean, all of these repressed emotions are largely subconscious, which is why we do journal speak to invite them to rise. And so it's not that you're making conscious decisions, it's subconscious. And so because of that, all of these emotions are just dumped into the reservoir. And when it hits critical mass, you reach for a plate and you throw out your back. You eat a spicy meal and all of a sudden you've had, irritable bowel symptoms for a month and you don't understand what's wrong. And it's so easy to think that the only thing we need to do is solve the part of our body that's hurting. You know, you run to a chiropractor, you get an injection, or you get a treatment of some sort to that part of the body. And we become so frustrated when over and over again, it just doesn't help. We're just not better. And it's like, then the fear kicks in and the dread and the pre-grieving and what's wrong with me, the terror. Guys, you don't have to go down that road. Take my hand, my friends. There is a better way. So let's talk about what we can do about this fawning situation. So if you're here still with me, you probably are checking that all my little boxes and saying, yes, I fawn. I do this. I don't want to keep doing this. So what I'm going to say to you is, awareness is the first step in any healing process. Awareness. We have to live with our eyes wide open. Now, of course, you can't live with your eyes wide open until you're invited to by the world. So maybe today is the first day that you'll be able to open your eyes about it because it's obviously a new concept to some. That's what I learned when I posted on Instagram. People are like, wow, I never even heard of this before. So that's what's going on. When we have awareness, we can start to observe our reactions to things. So any psychologist will tell you that the reason for therapy or self-help or psychology or social work or all the things that we do, is to create an observational self. It's not to change you. You're not broken. It's not to fix you. It's to create an observational self, a witness, if you will, so you don't have to continue reflexively doing the same negative, self-deprecating, self-limiting behaviors. And so what we're talking about here when we're triggered into fawn is that we can have awareness. Ah, I notice I'm feeling this way. I notice, for me, the first indication of fawn is I feel it in my body. I feel that little fright, that shock that feels like I'm in danger. It feels like I'm hearing the garage door go up on my father coming home. I feel it in my solar plexus. It radiates up my chest. I feel it maybe in my breathing. And I say, oh, I see. Something's triggering me into fawn. Let's see what's going on. And I look around. Maybe it's as simple as someone's in a bad mood. Okay. I am now, and you know what? We're going to actually pull in the POSE acronym. So this is the acronym that I teach in my anxiety course. It's called POSE. Pause, observe, stay and soothe, and embrace. So the first thing we do in awareness, once we get triggered, is we pause. Stop it. Stop the tape. I need to figure out what's going on here before I move forward. So pause. Awareness leads us to pause. It should be a pose. Just kidding. It's pose. Awareness leads us to pause, and we pause and we say, what's really going on here? Am I really in danger? Am I really in trouble? Is this my responsibility to fix? What's really going on here? Now you look around and you say, okay, I see what's happening. My daughter just got off the bus and she's in a bad mood. She's not being nice to me. She's brooding over whatever a 13-year-old broods about. Okay. I can now observe that I am not in danger. Oh, observe. Now stay. Don't run to eliminate the feeling. The feeling will not kill you. If you allow the feeling to sit and integrate, the feeling will save you, not kill you. So stay. Don't run for a drink or a drug or shopping or dissociation if you can help it. And I understand some people who have severe trauma do dissociate, and I'm definitely going to do another podcast on that because people are asking for it. But whatever you can do to stay. Whatever you can do to stay and to soothe. What do you need to do? For me, soothing oftentimes is self-talk. If I'm in the car with her, it's not like I can go take a hot bath or a walk, which are other good soothing techniques. But I'll just say, hey, listen, Nicole, she's 13. She's going through what she's going through. Love her. This is not about you. That's soothe. And then embrace. And embrace is a really meta concept, which is this is a human life. Having children and having to raise them, or if you're a person who doesn't have children, having a job, having love relationships, having friendships, having family, that's part of being here. That's like the reason we're here, to feel and to connect and to love. So embracing the whole process and not needing it to be without discomfort is the E, embrace. So we get to do that. And when we're triggered into fawn, we get to do that. We get to pose and we get to say, okay, this is happening. How might I choose differently? And listen, I said this in the post and I'll say this here. It's not always possible to choose differently every single time. I mean, there are times where I still end up people pleasing and when I'm doing it, I'm like, you're doing it. And I just stay awake and aware. And I go, yes, I'm doing it. I've made the choice. I'm doing it right now. Okay, fine. Acceptance. It's okay. It's okay. You're just you. You're trying your best, you sweet little thing. So sometimes you still do it, but sometimes in your pause, you have a chance to choose a different response. And little by slowly, as you do that, you can add in the inner child work that I teach. And if you don't know about my inner child work, please go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. I have an inner child retreat that I did that you can purchase the recording. It's a 2-hour recording and you can learn about the inner child work in detail, and there's an original meditation in there. So if you want to learn about that, because the inner child work is really what ends up taking us really far, not just the pause and a different response. Like the inner child work allows us to do some serious healing with that little one inside that we are triggered less and less into fawn, which is so huge. So, guys, this is a big one. It is a big one. It is a beautiful one. You know why it's beautiful? And I know I think everything is beautiful, which I do, because I think our pain and our struggle is an incredible opportunity for growth and change and expansiveness and awareness and love. And I'm one of those, and I'm sorry, but I am. I do think it's all beautiful. But the reason that fawn is so beautiful is because really it's calling us back to honor ourselves again. Yes, we have discarded ourselves for years. We have forgone our needs. We have done that. I understand. Is it forgoed? No, I think it's forgone. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. We have done that, but we don't have to do that anymore. Fawning response is a call to remember that we're in there. You're in there. And you know what? There's nothing that can ever happen that we can walk away from ourselves permanently. We can always go back. There's always hope in this situation. And what's really incredible about all this work that I do is, yes, this will make you feel better. Yes, this will give you, meaning feel better like emotionally. Yes, this will give you better relationships, closer connections to your family and friends. You will become a better person in your workplace. Yes, yes, yes. All of that is true. But also, this takes away chronic pain. This takes away chronic pain because when your nervous system is no longer in long-term sustained fight or flight with cortisol flooding your system all the time and adrenaline flooding your system all the time and constantly being re-triggered into your trauma, when that stops happening, you go into a state of rest and repair, or some people call it rest and digest because that's the place where all our stomach issues go away. That's what I'm offering you with this work. So of course, it's more than just what I'm talking about today. It's journal speak and it's all the things. And if you're new to the work, just go to my website, click on the resources tab. So many of my resources are free. And if you want to go deeper with me, you can take my online courses, come to an online or a real in-person retreat. There's so much. There's so much we can do and there's so much we're going to do. This is just the beginning, guys. I'm getting really hype. I'm getting really excited because I'm starting to see glimmers of the collective consciousness embracing my work. Glimmers, glimmers. I've been walking this path for 20 years and I'm starting to see glimmers and it's freaking awesome. It's awesome. I'm loving it. All right, guys. Listen, I send you big love. I want to remind you that if you do want to get 50% off the Curable app, to go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, 50% off a year subscription. This app is really amazing, and I hope you take advantage of it. And also, if you're enjoying this podcast, it would be a great favor to me. If you want to give back, go to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps other people find the podcast. It brings it up in the suggested podcasts, in the ratings, and I would really appreciate your help. All right, my lovey loves, it's been awesome hanging out with you today. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.